This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another conversation with a lawmaker representing parts of Douglas County, State Representative Court Boyce from House District 1. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, I'm very sorry. Thank you, Kyle. Sorry to have got here a little bit late. I saw the number call, and I'm not sure how we got disconnected. But again, thanks for having me on.
So a lot happening in the legislature. Let's blaze through it. I think one of the things at the front end from some of my research this morning is that as you are going through crafting a budget in the legislative process, the cuts or potential or likely cuts from the federal level seem to really be making an impact on what legislators and state officials are trying to figure out when they look at budgets for the next couple of years.
Yeah, the federal funds are not loosening up there, you know, and I understand the philosophy behind that. Oregon is, basically saying we're going to have sanctuary cities, Kyle, we're going to have sanctuary counties, and, the Trump administration said that's not acceptable. We're not going to have girls competing against biological males. And so you see what's going on in the state of Maine right now. Our House Republican office is supporting the president on that. We understand we've been pushing bills to protect our women and kids, children. And so that's going to hold up some federal funds. So maybe it'll focus here on spending money wisely. The amount of waste in this place is almost indescribable. And you hear the background noise there. The construction has been going on for 4 or 5 years, Kyle. We're up to $600 million. And the capital before I got here, before this decision was made, was fine the way it was. It's just not a good use of taxpayer funding.
So let's talk about wildfire funding. You've mentioned that a number of times in recent interviews. I understand that the process of figuring that out is one of those things that's being slowed down by the federal question.
You know, we bought some time on that, and I think that's to our advantage. I think that's also to the rural Oregon's advantage, the taxpayers' advantage. Again, not to emphasize too much, but it's spending priorities. What's the number one public safety risk we have in our state? That's especially in rural Oregon. Look at the houses we lost at the Archie Creek fire, 110 in the area of Glide, as you recall. And we're susceptible. We are at high fire level risk. I've asked the governor to declare a fire emergency for the 2025 season. Very well thought out plan and the basis behind that, in hopes that we can let the Trump administration know that, hey, we're very vulnerable here, and the fire season will be here before we know it, and we have got to be prepared. And I'd love, Kyle, at the end of the 2025 fire season, say, yeah, Boyce overreacted or overplanned. But that's my number one job, and as you know, I've done that for 10 years now and take that very seriously.
So for fire agencies around the state that are wanting to ramp up fire levels as they do ahead of fire season, seems like there's a lot of uncertainty, though, in how much money they're going to be allocated.
And I think that's to our advantage. We've got to get it out of the general fund. If we make good decisions, I think the federal government, through the Forest Service, BLM, is going to make better. Let me put it this way. It would be more likely, Kyle, to understand that the forest fires start on national forest land. They go into private timber. They go over into tribal timber. And so in the good neighbor concept, they need to do their part. They need to get these fires out by 10 o'clock every morning. That's the Oregon Department of Forestry record, putting out 90% of the fires, keeping them under 10 acres. So, yeah, we're getting down to the wire, but, passing a bottle bill and increasing to 15 or 20 cents is not a good plan. A tire tax is a horrible plan. Our funding in the last 20 years for human services has gone up. It is 44% of our budget now. Well, as you, I'm sure, probably aware, law enforcement in the state of Oregon has gone down 0.2%, barely over 5.5%. So again, spending priorities. If we can't keep our our citizens safe in a rural area. Plus, you want to take our guns away so we can't defend ourselves, defend our neighbors, defend the peace. It's just, I wish I could say that there's been improvement in the wide gaps between urban and rural Oregon, but no, they have the votes because of Portland, and so that's why we're here 24/7, and I think over time we are going to prevail.
Talk about House Bill 2251 that bans student cell phone use during the school day. I understand that was voted on by the House yesterday. Tell us more about that.
You know, I voted yes on that, and that was a tough decision. I could have went either way on that. Rep. Wright, who is our main connoisseur for education, you know, he was a teacher, a superintendent for over 30 years, and he sponsored that bill. He then voted in opposition. I had my own bill, actually, for getting cell phones away from kids in the classroom. The only real opposition we had there is parents understandably want to know if there's an emergency in the school, can they get a hold of their kids and vice versa? So I understand that. But we know the kids are distracted from learning. They're distracted from developing social skills. Again, it was a tough bill. Wright voted against it. Rep. Wallen and Rep. Drazen, who I respect both tremendously, they both voted in favor. I'm sure the people are saying, well, that takes away our freedom. The kids don't need a little 3x9 or 3x8 screen in their face all the time. It's just not a good part of education, and it's lacking discipline, and the Oregon test scores get worse and worse as we spend more and more, Kyle.
Now, my understanding on this one, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this would be throughout the entire school day. I know that different states, different districts in states have rolled this out differently. Sometimes phones are accessible during breaks or lunch or whatever. Under this legislation, though, it would be basically have to be off from the time a student got to the campus until the time they left. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think maybe when it goes to the Senate side, it might get refined for those amendments that would make more sense and give parents a little more security. I would certainly support that. It's just the times that we live, and kids just need encouragement, and they need attention, and the cell phones, the screens, all that. We didn't grow up with that, and that's not to say that those are not good tools in the right capacity, but it's just like our library bills, that somehow if we push back against inappropriate, indecent material in our school libraries, that we're book banners or book burners. And so we got to protect our kids. I mean, young families are just beside themselves, and they shouldn't be in that position.
Well, let's talk about farmers and water use. House Bill 3372, expanding water use exemptions for small farmers. Talk about that.
I voted no on that out of committee, and I hate to go against Rep. Owens from Eastern Oregon. He is just an absolute wizard in water, and he's trying to neutralize the state of Oregon taking more and more control of water. So he sometimes makes deals in a positive sense. I just, again, hold him in very high regard. And can you tell I'm outside? I'm soaking up some sun I haven't seen for on the house floor. It is really, really, you don't know what the weather is out there. Anyway, he has just done an incredible job. I just see the state of Oregon taking way too much control in water. You look at the floods we've had in my three counties, in Coos Curry and Douglas, and citizens that have been really negatively impacted. And we got plenty of water. Do we need to manage well? And I had my lodge on Rogue River. I had a big creek at each end of the property, but to take care of all the water needs we had on that 80 acres, we had to really pay attention. However, restricting people so they can't grow food, or saying you can only take, there's a movement to meter water, to meter wells, and that's going against people's personal property. It's going against their individual rights. So no, I don't think I'm going to be able to support that when it comes to the House floor. I do like helping Owens because he has devoted his entire career to water issues. But as Oregon gets more and more control, I get less and less enthused.
Other hot topics right now in Salem, what are ones that rise to the top for you?
Hey, I had my 93-year-old mom on the House floor today, and to recognize her, it was just awesome. She was a registered nurse for 63 years. You know, a week ago Friday, I was the key speaker at the Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Ceremony. So what an honor that was. Continuing working on veterans issues, I've got many bills that I'm really optimistic with. We got a great team on the South Coast. Specific bills, you know, the worst one is 1154 on the Senate side, that's controlled water. 916, where if you decide to strike, your employer's going to pay unemployment benefits. My gosh, what that will do to our small business people. I mean, Kyle, they're just a, you know, I think the main reason we are here is to stop, to do everything we can to stop bad bills. And so, you know, I just got probably 23 bills, I think it is, and six of those are still alive. And I can go on into those if you like.
Yeah, I am curious about your legislation and where it stands.
Thank you. I've got two veterans bills. One is for a healthcare navigator. That's got a lot of interest. It was sent, trained through Oregon Health Authority, which, you know, they have, what is it? I don't know, $1.93 billion budget. And so let's help our veterans with a lot of that money. And so another one, sorry about the background noise there, but another one is my hyperbaric oxygen treatment center. I've got a bill that is drone safety. If people are, if they're running, there's drone up and it somehow interferes with search and rescue or interferes with emergency response, there's going to be a penalty as drones become more and more popular. First-time farmers, we've got a $400,000 budget, which I think is very reasonable. Could be, should be money well spent for first-time farmers. You know, the family farmers are becoming practically extinct in Oregon because we treat them so badly. And, you know, I've got several others there. One is for tax credits for farmers and ranchers that want to donate food to the Oregon Health Bank, or Food Bank, excuse me. And they get a better, higher tax credit. So there's an incentive there. Yeah, the bills we're doing on the House, I mean, it's just a blur. We're just doing everything we can to, again, Kyle, to fight bad bills. I'm working very closely with the president administration on, you know, a month ago, he sent out an executive order to expand on timber harvest. And I mean, that's the best news I've had in a long time. We need to get our mills green trees. And, you know, we could never harvest it here in Oregon as fast as it grows. And he knows that. And so we want to take care of our mills, our sacred employers. And we just want to support him on that. So I'm working with all my House Republican colleagues and Senate side to basically say, hey, let's make sure that they understand, that we understand, and the wonderful impacts this could have, again, on our mills and rural Oregon.
What about committees that you're on? What are they involved in right now?
You know, it's a little bit quieter. We've been called to the House floor 5-6 hours a day now, Kyle, and you know, three or four of each bills we do, they might go real fast. And for every one that we debate, we just had a tremendous debate on rent control. You know, I'm strongly in opposition to that. Even the state of Washington, my gosh, has said, we do not want to follow Oregon's lead. You know, it's one of those deals where we'll just try it, we'll examine it or assess it down the road. And the next thing you know, people that you hope and pray will invest money in housing will stay in Oregon. And, you know, they're not going to. They're going to take their money and their investments, and they're going to go to other states. And the other side just, unfortunately, does not get that. So it's very frustrating. It's concerning. It hits our older folks the most, and, you know, families that need homes. So, yeah, that's one I debated on that. Hey, we have a town hall, by the way. I better catch up here. Let's see, Roseburg City Hall. What is it, Kyle? 6 to 8. Scarlatos, Senator Brock Smith, Rep Osborne, and I will all be there. And then Senator Brock Smith and I have a town hall in Coquille, 10 o'clock Saturday, and in Gold Beach at 2 o'clock.
a lot going on. I saw another one I wanted to ask you about, a House bill regarding trying to stop the spread of pharmacy deserts in Oregon. I understand that the state is now second to last for pharmacy access, and some legislation out there trying to help that situation.
You know, it's, again, it's an anti-business attitude that we have here. Oregon Business and Industries, the National Federation of Independent Business, they have really wound us up on these. You know, pharmacies we had in the state of Oregon, it was either 36 or 38, I don't remember now, pharmacies that shut down, all of them in rural Oregon. You know, they just can't make a profit because how we regulate businesses in our state. So we have got to change course on that. So many people are dependent on, you know, us here making making very good decisions. And we have to understand how we get in these situations. I mean, we have like 3,000 or 4,000 bills. And sometimes as a minority representing rural Oregon, the only way we can get something that has impact is just by sheer numbers to get them to listen, because they control the committees. And you ask about committees, you know, I mentioned veterans, I mentioned emergency part of that committee. I'm very happy to be on emergency management, general government, and veterans. You know, our World War II memorial here, we just had, we realized through the Oregon Department of Veterans Administration that there's several World War II names that were inadvertently left off. Some of those were Japanese Americans, some of them were other minorities, and some of them were misspelled. So I spoke on that. I carried that bill, basically simple, ODVA, just correct that and make sure we're doing our job there. So, you know, we have a lot of feel-good bills like that, of course, that we get done.
Now, I understand the kind of the uncertainty around gun laws in Oregon is really driving some residents to essentially stock up on firearms. Where do you think that situation is going to end up?
You know, 99% of those folks are law-abiding. They understand that sometimes in rural Oregon, it may be an hour or two before a sheriff's deputy can get there, especially after we are so hemmed in by not being able to properly support our law enforcement personnel in rural Oregon. And so, you know, since time began, you know, man has wanted to just have peace, protect himself. Sometimes it's from predatorial people. I mean, we've got the cartels coming over. You know, my middle son is a lieutenant, OSP, and, you know, he has to deal with this, he and his people. And so the best way to do that is to make sure, I was raised by a law enforcement family. If you have to put down your life to protect the law enforcement personnel, you do it. You know, you might remember the story. I chased a bank robber in Salem in 2011, and chasing for five blocks, got shot at, and he missed, thank goodness, and I kept calling, got his license plate. He's in jail. It's part of, for 30 years, for attempted murder, and he robbed 8 banks. So the point is, we have to be a civilized society, and you need to defend ourselves against.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.